Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the Gospel of John. And this is not a cup of coffee that I have up here. It is a cup of hot tea with honey in it. Hopefully it'll get me through. The cup was given to me by Diane Wilimowski, who is Joe Sr.'s wife, who had gone to be with the Lord some years ago. And she gave me this cup after I shot her husband in the hand with a nail gun while we were building rooms in the basement. And the cup says, "Danger, man with power tools." So if I've been taking a drink every now and then, please forgive me. I'll take one right now. All right, we should be in John chapter 20. And we're going to be reading verses 19 through 21. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. For whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your mercy and kindness and goodness and graciousness and generosity to us. Father, without you, we would not exist. And without Jesus, we would not be saved. But thank you for a Savior. Thank you for the blessings that you send to us on a daily basis, and that your mercies are new every day. Thank you, Lord, that you love us the way you do and work with us, and you never leave us nor forsake us. And lo, you are with us always, even unto the end of the world. So we thank you, Lord, for your greatness and for your promises, for your word and for your Holy Spirit and for your Son, the Lord Jesus. And pray tonight, my Father, that as we look into the Word of God, you, by your Holy Spirit, might open our hearts and minds to receive the Word of God and open the lips of this, thy stumbling servant, to be able to speak forth what you have for us tonight. I just pray, my Father, you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And this is the record of the Lord appearing to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead, with Thomas being absent. Now, before I continue, I'd like to mention a couple of things that I see in Thomas's absence. Number one, Thomas, because he was absent, missed something by not being there. He missed seeing something. He missed the first appearance of the Lord to his disciples. Number two, Thomas, because he was absent, didn't hear something by not being there. He missed hearing, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And because Thomas was absent, he missed receiving something. He missed receiving the gladness that the disciples received by the Lord's presence and his promise of peace. I've often wondered why Thomas was absent. Why wasn't Thomas there? The Bible does not tell us that, but just that he was not there. Now we know that this was Sunday and the disciples were all assembled together except for Thomas. It made me think about Sunday at Grace of Calvary, when people are absent. They miss seeing something. Those who were not here this past Sunday, they missed seeing a man get saved. Those that were not here this morning, they missed seeing two people get baptized. Those who do not come on Sundays, they miss hearing something. They missed hearing a message from the Word of God. You know, God doesn't give the pastor a message just so that he can do his job and earn his pay. He gives messages for his people to hear. Maybe there was something just for them that God gave to be a help or a blessing, but they were not there, and so they didn't hear it. They missed the gladness and encouragement and strengthening of the Lord's presence as he promised to be where two or three are gathered in his name. He said, I am there in the midst. I wonder why people miss church. Oh, I'm sure there are what they claim or what they consider good excuses. But God said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And this is the place we should be on the Lord's day. It's not your day. It's not the government's day. It's not your employer's day. It's the Lord's day. And it does not go unnoticed when a person is missing. Look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. God marked it down in the Word of God that Thomas wasn't there. And by the way, what does it say when a person whom you may have invited comes to church and finds that you're not even there? What does that say to them? But I really want to look at tonight is the Lord's commission in verse 21. He says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. I thought about that. And I realize that the Lord does not send everyone to the same place at the same time or even in the same way. And I want to share three things tonight that have to do with this, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Number one is entitled, Go and Tell. The Lord gives the go and tell assignment to his disciples. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And look with me in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Now wait a minute. Who's there? The 11. Even among these group of elite, if you put it that way, disciples, there's some that doubt it. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, I want you to notice who the Lord is speaking to. He's speaking to his 11 disciples. There's one missing, of course, and we know that that's Judas. There were other followers of Jesus, but they were not called to this meeting. Notice also that the Lord appointed them to be at this meeting. These were the 11 hand-picked men whom the Lord called, and then he sent them out. Now, I know that these verses are used to encourage all believers to witness, and that is a proper application of the verses. But what I see in these verses is that the Lord called some. Remember, there were over 500 brethren who saw the Lord resurrected. But only 11 are called to this meeting. The Lord calls some and sends them into the world as missionaries and evangelists, and church planters. They are called upon to leave their occupations, sometimes their towns, and even their countries, to take the gospel to those in need of salvation. And we find the account in Mark's gospel as well. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, we have only the 11 that are present. Now, these were not just followers. Jesus had many followers. But these were disciples. These were his inner circle, if you will. These were those who did more than just follow. They worshiped him and they loved him and they wanted to be like him. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who learns or sits at the feet of another to learn and to be like them. And so these are Jesus' disciples. And the Lord appeared to others, but he only met with these 11 with this command. He didn't give this command to the 500. He gave this command to the 11. As I said, there is an application for all of us. But the Lord specifically chooses some to make it their life work to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To go and to tell. And with the command to go and tell comes the grace of God to do the job. There are men and women all over the world serving as missionaries. There are men all over the world starting churches. There are men who have left their jobs and the security of home and go out as evangelists. They do not do that on their own. It takes the grace of God. Why? Because they are called of God to go and tell. But point number two is this. Stay and show. While the Lord calls some to go and tell, he calls some to stay and show. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea. And they that had fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, they were afraid. You know, I don't blame them for being afraid. They'd never seen anything like this before. They had gotten kind of used to having this crazy man, this demon-possessed man out there doing what he did all the time. And I'm sure they made it part of their job to go around and avoid this man as much as possible. And all of a sudden, that fast, in a moment, that man is changed and clothed. Now, where'd the clothes come from? Jesus didn't bring them with him. We have no account of that. It's a miracle of God. He delivered the man from the demons. He renewed his mind and clothed him in a moment of time. No wonder the people that were there were afraid. They'd never seen anything like that. But I want you to notice what's found in verses 18 and 20. And when he was come into the ship, that's Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, this demon-possessed man who's now set free wants to go with Jesus. I don't blame him. I probably wouldn't hang around there either. I mean, all these people hate me, right? They all think I'm a maniac, a demon-possessed person. They think I'm crazy. They probably think that I'm going to have a relapse or something. I'd want to get out of there too. Those people didn't want Jesus there, and they don't want this guy there. And so he wanted to be with him. But look at verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. Jesus said no. But saith unto him, go home. I mean, that seems kind of like a slap in the face, don't you think? Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. He said, no, go home. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things that Jesus had done for him. And all men did what now? They marveled. You see, this man, number one, he wants to go with Jesus. But Jesus, number two, denied him and told him to stay there in his hometown and show his neighbors and relatives the change that the Lord can make in a person's life. The third thing is, his testimony and his life's example caused people all over town to marvel. What did they do at first? They were afraid. But as they watched him, and as they heard him, and as they observed his change, now they began to marvel. What a testimony this is to the power of Jesus Christ to save, the power of Jesus Christ to change a person and make a new creature and give him a new life. The truth is that God does not call everyone to the mission field. And he doesn't call everyone to start churches. And he doesn't call every man that gets saved to be an evangelist. Most people who get saved stay right there in their own hometowns and neighborhoods to be living testimonies of the power of God. This man in Mark chapter 5 is a grand example of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things have become new. What a wonderful example. Here is a man who was demon-possessed. That's old. It's passed away. Here's a man who lived in tombs. That's old. It's passed away. Here's a man who cut himself with stones. That's old. It's passed away. He's a new creature in Christ. Now he's living in town. He's sleeping in a real bed. Living a real life. Changed by the power of God. Said no man could tame him, but Jesus did. The Lord's will for this man's life was for him to stay where he was and witness with his life and with his lip. To be and to live as a new creature, a new man, and to live the newness of life that only Jesus can give. Notice that in verse 15, people were afraid of the great change that took place. But when they saw the change, and a little bit of time apparently had gone by in verse 20, they began to marvel. That could only have happened by this man being called to the Lord to stay and show. How many got saved months or years later because he stayed and he showed the power of God in his life? How many said, if the Lord Jesus can do that for him, oh my, what can he do for me? If that guy can get saved, anybody can get saved. If that woman can get saved, anybody can get saved. If you can get saved, your neighbor can get saved. And the girl at the grocery store can get saved. And your doctor can get saved. And your dentist can get saved. And your boss can get saved. But they need to have someone to see, to show them what God can do. You don't know how many people are looking at your life and your testimony and saying, I don't know how she does it. I don't know how he does it. They're looking at your life and saying, I wish I had some of that. You don't know that they're thinking that. They may be marveling. I mean, when you tell them, or they first find out you got born again, you got saved, oh boy, oh my, this is the new thing in their life. But then they watch, and they listen, and they go from mockery to marveling as they see how real it is, as they see how lasting it is. Every city and town and hamlet needs to have living, breathing object lessons of the power of the salvation of God, the power to save and the power to change. How could churches be built and grow if everyone was called away to the mission field? Who would there be to support those who go if they all went? Who would be around to teach Sunday school or drive buses or play music or run VBS? Who would there be to start ministries and outreaches to get the gospel to the community? So if God has not called you to go and tell, he's called you to stay and show. But I believe there's a third thing. And number three, I have entitled it, Come and See. God calls some to be missionaries, evangelists, and church planters. And they go into all the world and tell. And God calls the vast majority of his disciples to stay and show. But there's a third thing that we find in John chapter 4, in that well-known and beloved account of the woman at the well. So let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we'll pick up the story in verses 25 through 27. Now, the lady has met Jesus. Well, actually, she wasn't really a lady, was she? She was a woman, but we know she wasn't a lady. And so this woman had met Jesus, and he had spoken to her. And when Jesus opened his mouth, it's the word of God, is it not? So we pick up the story in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak to thee. Am he? Can you imagine? It makes my spine tingle just thinking about it. I that speak unto thee, am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You know, Jesus was a friend of publicans. He was a friend of sinners. Aren't you glad? Amen. And here, even his own disciples said, What are you doing talking to her? Don't you know what she is? Don't you know who she is? Jesus knew exactly who she was. He knew exactly what she was and what she did because he told her. He went there just to meet her, a sinner. I find, first of all, that this woman had heard about the Messiah, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know. So she knew this. When that Messiah is coming, so she's looking for the coming of Christ, which is called Christ. And then she says, when he has come. So she was expecting him to come, but she wasn't expecting him to come. Just like some of us. Oh, we're waiting for Jesus to come. We're waiting for the rapture to come. Why? So you could just get out of your problems and trouble. You know, we're expecting him to come, but then we live sometimes like we're not expecting him to come. Number two, this woman now believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Verse 29, she says, "Is not this the Christ?" Third, she was not led to Christ by any of the disciples because they weren't even there. And fourthly, the Lord revealed himself to her by himself through his word. I point this out because this is what happened to both my wife and me. We had heard of Christ all our lives. Like most people that go to church, we hear about Christ, we hear about Christ. We know all the stories, we know about Jesus. And we've heard about salvation. But when we were actually came to Christ as Savior, we were not led to Christ by anyone in particular. Rather, the Lord revealed himself to us. He revealed himself to me while I was praying, and he revealed himself to my wife as she was reading the Bible. Now, yes, someone had witnessed to us, but no one actually led us to Christ step by step. Sometimes God chooses to use a soul winner to lead a person to Christ. Sometimes he doesn't. But he always uses his word. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But what I really want you to see here is that after she got saved, I want you to see what she did. Look at verse 28. "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." She just ran into town. And she told her friends, and she told her neighbors, and she told her relatives, and she would tell anyone and everyone who would listen. She just said, "Come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see." She had to be excited. She didn't know doctrine, perhaps, much, but she knew Jesus was the Christ. She wasn't so articulate to be able to explain what the Lord revealed to her, but she could say, "Come and see, come and see." She didn't care about what they thought of her. "They'll think I'm a nut. If I run into town and say, come and see, come and see, come and see, I found the Christ, come and see." She didn't care what they thought about her, that she was a woman of ill reputation. They probably thought she was some lowlife, and she was living a low life. But she didn't care what they thought about her, thinking maybe she was a nut, or thinking that, well, why should we listen to her? We know what she's like. She didn't hold it against them. "Well, I'm not going to tell them. I mean, you know what they've been calling me all these years? You know how they've been treating me? You know I have to go out to the well all by myself when no one else is there? Because if I go out there with other women there, I got to hear it. So you know what? I found the Christ, and I'm going to heaven, and that's all I care about, and I ain't telling none of them people. Because they don't like me." She didn't do that. She wanted everyone and anyone to know that this is the Christ. Where's our excitement? We have met the Christ. We know the Christ. We talk to the Christ, and the Christ talks to us. Why aren't we saying, "Come and see, come and see"? This information was too wonderful to keep from even her enemies and her detractors. Every one of us is called to do this. We're called to invite people to come and see. Philip told his brother Nathanael in John chapter 1 verse 46. And Nathanael saith unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, Jesus was a Nazarene. But you know what Philip said? Philip said, come and see. I found the Christ. Oh, right. Where's Nazareth? No Christ is coming out of Nazareth. No good thing comes out. That was like a joke of the day, you know? So Philip just said, come and see. You don't believe me? Come and see. The woman was calling her neighbors, and Philip was calling his brother Nathanael to come to where Jesus was and see for themselves and hear for themselves. And we all can call people to come where Jesus is. You say, well, where is that? Well, I'll give you one place Jesus is. He's in the local church, in the preaching, and in the people. We need to invite people to come to church and see for themselves. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, now listen, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus Christ, I know he lives in us by the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, where we gather together in his name, he's there in the midst. You understand, he's here. He's not just some nebulous construct up in the heavenly somewhere, though he is seated at the right hand of God. But he said, I am there in the midst of them. He's here. I don't understand it. I just believe it. We've had people visit and say, I felt the presence of the Lord there. Well, that's because he's here. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. This is the house of God. It's the church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. I know it's the church building. But who meets in the church building? The church. And who meets with the church in the church house? Jesus. People, come and see. And when they come, they see Jesus in his people. And they hear Jesus in his word. That's why it's so important for us to say, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Now, if they don't want to come and see, that's not up to you. But there ought to be something about us. There ought to be some excitement. There ought to be something that would cause someone, somewhere, at some time to come. Sometimes we're not called to go to the mission field, but we all have the opportunity to stay and show what great things Jesus has done for us. Sometimes we do not have the time nor the opportunity to sit down with someone and take them through the gospel and pray with them, but we can invite people to come and see. We can hand them a tract and say, listen, come and see. What's that? Well, that's a gospel tract our church puts out. Tell you how to get to heaven. I mean, you need to come to church. You need to come and see. Even this woman who was a brand new baby Christian. I mean, she just took her first breath, if you will, as a baby Christian. She went and she could say this, come and see. She couldn't have run them down the Romans road. She couldn't have told them all the doctrines. She couldn't have explained a lot of stuff. But she could say this, come and see. She did not even have a testimony yet. But she could say, come and see. Any Christian can hand a gospel tract and say, come and see. Any Christian can invite someone to church and say, come and see. Listen, when you say to someone, come and see, that piques their interest and suggests that there's something to see. Might try it. Hand somebody a tract and say, this is a tract from my church. Come and see. You need to come and see. And they'll say, I want you to come and see. Nobody ever told me to come and see before. What's there to see? I think I'll go down there and see. And then they come down, and you know what they see? The people of God. And they see Jesus in those people. And that's why it's so important to be friendly when people come in here. Because you never know where they're from. You don't know what they're going through. They might be lost and on their way to hell. They might have addictions. They might have fears and troubles and problems that are overwhelming them. And they've been to church after church after church. And when they come here, they need to be met with friendly people. Who say, hi, I'm glad you're here. What's your name? You say, well, I'm afraid to do that. Why? You're on home turf. This is your church. Well, I'm afraid I might say to somebody, hi, what's your name? And they'll say, and they'll give you a name and say, are you, is this your first time here today? No, I've been coming here for 3 years. You know what you do? You say, well, it's about time I got to meet you. We need to be friendly when people come in. When you see somebody or you see a face you don't know, I shouldn't have to go around and say, hey, talk to that lady. Hey, talk to that guy. You ought to be doing that on your own. They came to see. They need to see Jesus and his people. They need to see Jesus in the preaching of the word. In far too many churches, there is nothing to come and see. And therefore, no one asks them to. But perhaps your excitement, like that of the woman and like that of Philip, will inspire them and cause them to think there is something to see. And maybe, just maybe, they'll come and see and be saved. Or they might come and see and say, this is where I need to go to church. This is where I can grow and this is where I can learn. You know, the average everyday Christian is the backbone of the local church and the major mouthpiece of the Lord all around the world. You know, it is the larger body of Christ that stay and show. And say, come and see, that reach the great majority of souls for Christ. Missionaries and church planters actually reach a minority of souls for Christ by themselves. It is the ones they reach that reach out farther than they ever could by themselves. And yes, there is a go and tell for all of us. I think we find the principle in Luke chapter 1 where it speaks of the shepherds that visited the Lord in the manger. And after they had seen him, it is said of them, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Where did they go? They didn't go to Zimbabwe. They didn't go to Brazil. You know where they went? They went in town. They went where they were. Said, come and see. There's a threefold opportunity for every born-again believer to advance the cause of Christ by staying and showing. By saying, come and see. And by going and telling what you know. You can go into your neighborhood. You can go into your family. You can go into Erie, Pennsylvania and tell. And isn't that really being a missionary? Didn't Jesus say that we're supposed to be witnesses unto him. And the first place he mentioned was Jerusalem. You know what he said? You can go. You know what he said? Be witnesses of me right here in Jerusalem, and in Judea, the county of Erie, and in Samaria, the state of Pennsylvania, if you will. And then he said, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We're here. It's our job. This is our part in the Father's business. And if you will, the Father's business, I have given it a name. I call it Heavenly Father and Sons. Heavenly Father and Sons. Bringing sinners to Christ is the Father's motto. But as you do, and when you do, will you be there at church when they come? I've seen people come in. I'll meet them at the front, and I'll shake their hand, and I'll say hi, and I'll just right out ask them, have I ever met you before? Have you been here before? Is this your first time? People say, no, I've been here before. Oh, wonderful, I'm glad you came back. Is this your first time here? Oh, no. But I've seen people come in, and they'll say to me, well, you know, so-and-so invited me. And you can see they're a little tentative, you know. So-and-so invited me. And then I'll say, well, I'm glad. And you know how bad I feel when so-and-so isn't here? And they'll look in the auditorium, and they'll look around, and guess who they're looking for? They're looking for so-and-so. And they don't see so-and-so. So they just sit down somewhere. They don't come back. You know why? Because if it wasn't important enough for you to be here, why should they come and be here? I thought you said there was something to come and see, and you're not even here. Thomas, where were you that day? I don't know where he was, but he wasn't there. May God give us the answer, or God give us the grace to answer the call and do the job. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let me ask you, dear Christian, have you been called to go and tell as a missionary, as an evangelist, or as a church planner? Then go. Prepare and go. Perhaps you've not been called to the mission field. You've not been called to be an evangelist or church planner. You can be like the man from Gadara and be a living testimony, an example of the power of Christ to save and change by staying and showing. You can be like the shepherds who go and tell where they live. And you can be like the woman at the well and say, come and see, to everyone who will listen. God has a part for you in the Father's business. Do you realize that when you're absent, you miss seeing something, you miss hearing something, and you miss receiving something, just like Thomas did? But perhaps you're here tonight and you're not even a Christian. You're a Christian in name only. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why don't you be like the woman at the well and believe that Jesus is the Christ? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Be like the man from Gadara and let the Lord Jesus save you and change you. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Then you can be like the shepherds of whom it is said, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen as it was told unto them. Perhaps there's someone in this room tonight, maybe watching or listening, but I can't see you on the radio. I can't see you on live stream, but I can see who's in this room. And maybe there's someone in this room tonight who would say to me, if you were honest before God and before me, you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Would you slip your hand up? And by slipping it up, you're just being honest. God's not here to embarrass you, to force you to do anything. But I'd like to pray with you. You can receive Christ as your Savior right where you sit. Anybody like that here tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, there's something for all of us to do in the Father's business. We can be those who you maybe have called to go to faraway places, into the world to go and tell. But all of us can show, stay and show. We're not called to go anywhere. We're just called to stay home and let people see what Jesus has done in our lives. And then all of us can say to those around us, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Father, help us to be faithful, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. And as we sing our closing hymn, number 584, why don't you come? And why don't you get before the Lord and say, "Lord, you've called me to go, and I've been resisting, but tonight I'm going to go. You've called me to be a missionary. You've called me to be a pastor or an evangelist. You've called me, and I've been resisting, and I'm ready to go." Maybe you need to come tonight and say, "Lord, I know I haven't been called to be a missionary, but I can show. I can stay where I'm at and show." And maybe you need to come tonight and say, "Lord, I need to be more excited about what you've done in my life. And I need to be more active in telling people, come and see, come and see." Whatever it is, you come. If you have questions about going to heaven, I'd like to meet you. We can help you with that. As we sing number 584.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Listen, you can be a missionary right here in your neighborhood. If your neighbors have a question about salvation, do they know there's a house on their block they can come to? Do they know that they can come and ask you questions? They ought to know. How can they know? Go knock on their doors and say, "Hi, I'm your neighbor. And I'd just like to invite you to come and see what God is doing. I'd like you to come with me to heaven, and this little pamphlet will help you. If you have any questions, feel free to come over to my house. I'll be glad to answer them for you." All right, now ladies, if it's a guy and he comes to your door, you don't let him in. Talk to him out on the porch. And have a burno with you. All right, never mind. All right, let's sing our second.
Though millions have found him a friend, and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gate. and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. The millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Thank you, Lord, for again your word being preached here at Grace of Calvary, Lord, and for reminding us things that sometimes we may forget to. You reminded us that through your word and the preaching tonight that you are here in the midst of us. And we know these things, Lord, because your word tells us that, and we're Bible-believing Christians. But sometimes we forget the reality of that truth, that you're meeting with us here. You're really here, Lord. Help us to really dwell on that and to place it in our minds and in our hearts. And when we come to church, remember that each and every time we come, Lord. Thank you for the soul-winning program we have here at the church, Lord, and the many tracts that we hand out, Lord. But we can always do more, Lord. Help us to do more to reach a lost and dying world. We'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One verse of 296. 296, higher ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward. Plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. You are dismissed.